Hey everyone, welcome back to Seeking Witchcraft. I'm your host, Ashley, and today's episode is going to be a really fun and personal one because today I'm joined by somebody very special, my boyfriend, Mike. Welcome, Mike, to the show.
Hi, nice to meet you, everybody. Everybody listening, I'm Mike, and I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining today, Mike. We're going to be diving into what it's like being in a relationship where one person, such as myself, practices witchcraft and Mike, as the other person, does not. So we'll be talking about everything from first impressions and navigating spiritual differences to support and how we make it all work. So I guess let's get started.
Awesome. All right, great. Well, I'll start off with the first question that we have. When you first told me you practice witchcraft, was it hard to bring up?
Yes, it was hard to bring up. I had gone on dates previously with people through the years before you and I met, and I had experiences where I just didn't tell anybody that I was practicing, and I knew, like, within a couple dates that I should have told them from the get-go because it wasn't going to be cool with them, and then it just made things really hard. So that's part of the reason why I decided to bring it up pretty early into when you and I met, but it was also hard to bring up because sometimes it's hard to be like, hey, I have, like, you know, my grad degree, I'm working this, like, professional job. Also, I am a witch. like, you know, I didn't want you to think I was cosplaying Harry Potter or something. So, yes, it was hard to bring up, but I thought it was important for you to know exactly who I was and who you were talking to and potentially getting into a relationship with.
No, definitely. I really appreciated the transparency that you had as far as just telling me about that, like, pretty quickly. I think you mentioned it more to me because we met on the apps, you know, as you do sometimes.
And I think modern millennials do.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned that to me on there. And then you kind of went into more detail when we had our first date together. And I really appreciated that a lot. And it helped me learn quite a bit about you just immediately. The fact that you put kind of everything out there about yourself was really cool. And I thought that was just honestly so awesome. And I also just think it's cool, like, that you're into, like, something like that, so esoteric, because I find that really fascinating. So I thought it was honestly pretty attractive to be in with anyway.
Ooh. Did you have any assumptions about witchcraft going into this?
Yeah, I think I had some assumptions about it. Like, you know, I had, I guess, the idea of, like, you know, like, oh, you know, they cast, like, spells and stuff like that. Or, like, you know, I'm imagining people, like, dancing around a bonfire, like, something like that, essentially. But I thought overall, like, it sounded like, you know, you were a very adjusted, you know, normal person, and in meeting, you know, other people that you're acquainted with that are also, you know, in the craft, I also, like, met them, and they were also, like, really chill, like, people, and, like, you know, really cool, and I think it kind of made me better understand, like, you know, why people chose to do it initially, and also how they can get a lot of spiritual fulfillment from that, too. As far as my other question, what kind of response were you expecting from me when you shared your religion?
Ooh, I was expecting, well, I was hoping you'd be fine with it, which thankfully you were. Mm-hmm. I was expecting questions for sure. I was expecting you to be like, oh, what's that all about? What's Wicca? What's witchcraft? What's paganism in general? Like, what do you do? Things like that. And thankfully you were super understanding and respectful and chill about it. So I was very happy with your responses.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, you told me a bit about some of the things that you do, like, in your practice that, you know, things that you're allowed to tell me, of course, and, you know,
very public facing.
Yeah, very public facing
things. Very public facing things.
Yeah, things that people, like, you know, me are allowed to know. And, yeah, I was very understanding of a lot of it. I thought it was honestly really cool that you felt comfortable enough sharing some of that stuff with me. And I think it really made me respect you, like, just so much more that you know, like I said before, we're just very transparent about all that. And I think that was really cool. And it's something that you've always been an open book, you know, with me. And
as much as I can be.
As much as you're allowed to be, you know, in the case of, you know, witchcraft. But I think that's honestly just really cool that you were just so upfront about that.
Aw, I guess we should have probably done a little bit of an introduction more about yourself. But before I ask this question, so feel free if you want to say anything. But my question I was going to ask then is, how do you think we've navigated our spiritual differences as a couple? And I guess one of the background questions would have been, like, what's your spiritual background?
Yeah, so as far as, you know, my spiritual background, I kind of don't really have a spiritual background. I was raised by, you know, my parents. They didn't really raise me with religion. My family, you know, as far as, like, going back to, like, my grandmother and beyond, my grandparents were, you know, more Catholic. But my parents didn't really raise me with Catholicism. I kind of had more of a almost, like, Hallmark perspective on, like, I don't know, like, celebrating the holidays. Like, I only really celebrated, like, the Santa stuff and, like, the Easter Bunny stuff when it came to, like, you know, Christmas and Easter, but I actually didn't know what God was until I was like 8 years old.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah, I didn't really have it explained to me until later on, but I think after that I was always kind of curious about like just theology in general. So I would, you know, go to a lot of my friends like bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs. I lived in an area that had a very large Jewish population, and I went to, you know, a lot of Catholic masses with like my friends who were like Christian.
Oh my God, you should say the story.
Oh my God.
Okay, so for the record, I was raised Catholic, if you don't know, and I received communion and all that, and that's a whole process to get through that. So if you want to tell your story.
Oh my God, yeah. So, you know, like I said, I was not really raised Catholic, so I didn't really have a lot of context for this. My friend, who was Catholic, invited me and my sister to go to church with him and his family. And I guess when people went to go receive communion, I just decided to go up with them, not realizing that you're supposed to cross your arms when you go up there to receive the Eucharist and like the wine and everything. But I was like really hungry, and I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to take that, since I didn't get like, you know, my first communion or anything like that. So I just went up and I got the cracker and I got the wine. I was like, oh, nice. You know, that kind of wet my whistle a little bit.
Oh
so,
my God.
So that was good. And then I just had people staring at me afterward, and I just was like none the wiser, basically. But yeah, that's basically what happened.
Yeah, when Mike told me that story, I was like, no fucking way. I mean, I'm not Catholic anymore, but I was like, no way that you went up and did that. That's wild.
No, yeah. But yeah, like I said, you know, wasn't really raised with religion. But I think kind of the nice thing about that is that because I was sort of a blank slate when it came to that, I was very open to different perspectives on like different religions and stuff. And I always found like things that were esoteric, like very cool. Like I love like learning about different things like that. So I thought it was really cool that you were, you know, into Wicca and you know, you're involved in that. So I think that, you know, despite me not having a background in that, I think it was just kind of cool to learn about it because I didn't have any preconceived biases like you might have with some religions. So I thought that was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So here's my other question. Had there ever been moments where you felt misunderstood or where you felt like I just didn't get it? How did we work through those?
I think you've been pretty understanding, which I feel very fortunate, very lucky that that's the case. There are times where sometimes I'm like, oh, I hope he's not judging me for kicking him out of the apartment because I need to have coven, or like, I don't know, just hanging out with my coven friends or having a whole side of myself that I can't share because that's oathbound. It's private. It's between myself and my coven. In my tradition. So sometimes I think it's more I internally have these issues, or sometimes, not a lot, but sometimes I get like nervous, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't bring it up so often or something. But I think that's a me problem.
Yeah, that's okay though.
Because I don't think you really mind at all.
No, not really. I mean, it's almost like if you worked in like the FBI and you had to sign a bunch of NDAs, like I would be understanding that, you know, you wouldn't be able to tell me anything about that. And, you know, in this case, it's like, you know, you're oath bound. So I totally understand that there are things I'm not allowed to learn about, but you know, I'm okay with that. Cause you were at least upfront with me that, you know, there are things I'm not allowed to know, but there's nothing there that you should be worried about necessarily, you know? And I think that's, I trust you a lot. And I think, you know, that's why I feel like totally fine with that.
Ladies and gentlemen, where did I find this man? Just kidding. I know where I found him, but you know.
On Tinder.
On Tinder. Like all modern millennials. Mm-hmm. Are there any boundaries you felt the need to set around my practices or vice versa?
Any boundaries around the practice? Not necessarily. Like, I think that, you know, like I said, we've been pretty upfront about like certain things. Yeah, nothing in particular. I think, yeah, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head.
Yeah, the only thing I can think about, and it's more on my end, is that when we have coven, like, I need the space.
Yeah, so I usually will, you know, go out and do something else, like, while you're at... We don't live together, you know, right now, but, you know...
But you're pretty much living here.
I'm pretty much living here for the most part, but yeah, you know, if I happen to be here for a few days, and then Ashley's like, hey, you gotta go, I've got, you know, coven going on tonight, then I'll usually go out, maybe hang out with my friends, and I actually have a shared thing with this, because...
Fun story.
One of my very good friends is also dating somebody who's also in Ashley's coven, so sometimes, like, when, you know, they're doing their thing, we'll just go out and do our thing, maybe go see a movie, hang out with our friend group, so, yeah, it's kind of cool, actually, that we have that shared experience together, so, like, we can kind of, like, talk about, like, that, so it's kind of cool, actually, to have that, like, it's kind of a rare thing, in a way, so... I really appreciate that I've got that with my friend and also with my girlfriend, too. Just kind of having, I don't know, friends with each other's, you know, girlfriends, boyfriends, and stuff like that. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I should ask, like, or I guess you already answered, you know, what it's like having that dynamic where you have one of your own best friends dating somebody who's also part of what I do, like being able to confide with each other and, mm-hmm. and like, I don't know, talk with each other in case you ever have any like questions or I don't know, want to powwow about what's a good Yule gift or
yeah,
like,
yeah.
What, like, oh, what do you think the girls are up to tonight?
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Like, so that must be a cool experience. But I mean, on my end, it's honestly really cool having somebody in my group who is also one of your best friends. Mm-hmm. And they're dating, and I'm like, ooh, this is fun. We can talk about the boys.
Yeah, yeah. We've got kind of our own, like, little, like, I don't know, just chatting about, like, stuff like that, which I think is kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So when we do live together, I know Mike and I have talked about, like, all right, well, when I have coven nights, if you two want to just, you know, get together and have your own boys' night, and we'll have our girls' night.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, if you know, my friend happens to not be around, then, you know, I've got a box in the backyard I can put out there.
Oh, my gosh.
Get my gaming PC set up, and then I should be good to go.
Oh, my God. Honestly, give you some books, you'll be good.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. What does support look like to you when it comes to your spirituality?
Probably what you just said, the fact that you are totally fine with me like once or twice a month being like, babe, can you please leave for a couple hours because I have to do coven. That is a huge piece of support for my spirituality and my oaths and everything, and I really appreciate that because I don't think a lot of people would take that, you know, that great. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very appreciative that you are fine with that. Other things too, like if I go out on a trip, like, you know, if I'm away from the weekend with my coven, like, you being able to watch my cats and hold down the fort and all that, like, that's so sweet. And just be supporting of, like, what I do and letting me be who I am.
Yeah.
And having my coven and letting them all take over my house for a number of hours. That is just so supportive, and I really appreciate it so much.
Oh, of course, babe. And I think it's cool, too, that, you know, I could talk to you about some of that stuff, because I know, like, for you, like, you know, you haven't really told a lot of your family about, you know, everything that you do, obviously, but I'm glad I can at least be somebody you can, like, talk to about, like, that's, like, really personal, and I don't be able to share, like, your perspective on that and, like, how you feel about it, which I think is really cool.
Oh, that's so sweet. Do you ever feel like our spiritual paths affect how we connect with each other?
In some ways, as far as, like, by spiritual path, can you give me more of an example?
I don't know. I guess just like your beliefs, for example, of what happens after we die versus yeah. like my beliefs. I know we've talked a little bit about our thoughts on the afterlife.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, with me, I don't really have a religion necessarily. Like, I guess I would consider myself like agnostic. Like, I'm not like an atheist, but I could see there being potentially like a higher power or something even magical out there in a way. So I'm always open to the perspective on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that you were raised without religion is really cool too. So when I talked to you about my thoughts on the afterlife, for example, there wasn't like a bias necessarily that you had towards one direction or another of what that might look like or anything in the spiritual realm. So it's been really cool being able to like spitball some ideas off of you of what you think without having that bias, because I was raised Catholic, so even though I don't identify that way anymore, I still feel the Catholic guilt at times. And I don't know, sometimes I wonder like what I still believe and whatever I believe in the way that I do if I wasn't raised Catholic, and the answer is probably no.
That's kind of funny, because I feel like even though I wasn't raised Catholic necessarily, I think that like the family traits of the Catholic guilt still pass down like afterwards. So it's I'm not Catholic specifically, but definitely got that side of it, which is kind of funny.
You have the ancestral trauma.
Exactly. Yeah.
Love that.
Has being someone who doesn't practice changed how you approach your craft or your identity as a witch?
I might not have everything. I don't know. I might not have as full of an altar or all of my supplies out all over my apartment. No way I'm not completely taking everything over. I mean, I live by myself right now, but we're going to be moving in together soonish. And you're kind of already starting that process now. So I am being a little bit more cognizant about like having my shit everywhere, mm-hmm. I should say. And I think that goes for more than just my witchcraft, like, tools and stuff. I think that's just, like, my stuff in my apartment in general. So on a very mundane administrative level, I would say, yes, that part has changed. I think I'm also a little bit more cautious about how much incense I'm burning in my apartment when you're here to make sure you're not having any sort of, like, allergies or anything to what might be happening. But in terms of how I approach my craft and my identity, I don't think that it's changed. I think you've been really respectful in allowing me to be who I am, and I haven't felt the need to really change that part of me. And I will say, when I was dating, I was really nervous about that part of having to kind of minimize who I was and pretend I wasn't really doing this and being very secretive and quiet about my practices, because I was worried I'd have a partner who didn't fully accept me for who I was, especially in that aspect. And so I feel very lucky that you do, because that's hard. That's really hard to ask somebody to accept that part of you at times. So the answer is no to this question, but that I'm really appreciative that I did not have to feel like I had to change anything.
Oh, no, I you know, I've never wanted you to feel like you have to suppress a part of yourself to please me in any way. Like, I never want you to feel insecure about, you know, yourself, your, you know, religion or anything like that. I want you to be you, because I love who you are, and I think that you're amazing. I think it's just so cool that you have this thing that you're so passionate about and that you take so much pride in. And yeah, you know, if we move in together too, like, I think I'd be more than happy for you to continue, like, doing that as well, like, in our shared space as well.
Aw, that's so nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back in just a moment. All right, welcome back. So continuing the question. So Mike, what is it like being in a relationship with somebody who practices witchcraft and runs a coven with multiple students?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I didn't realize, like, initially going into, you know, dating Ashley, that she had, like, a podcast, or that she, like, also had this, like, really big coven as well, and she had a lot of connections. So I was like, oh, well, I'm not just dating, like, a girl that's into witchcraft. Like, I'm dating a girl that's, like, you know, lives and breathes, like, a lot of witchcraft. So I think that was kind of pretty cool, honestly. I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of sick. But I think it's pretty interesting, especially since I've gotten to meet a lot of, you know, people in your coven, which has been...
You've met everybody.
I've met everybody, yeah. Yeah. I've met every single one. They've all been, like, super nice to me. Like, I become, like, friends with pretty much all of them. Like, they're honestly, like, super cool, like, and... Yeah, they've been, like, I really love the fact that they're very supportive of you, and you guys have this, like, almost family dynamic together, which I think is really nice, like a kind of found family sort of situation. I think that I love that for you, because it gives you, you know, a way to express yourself that you can't with others, which I think is awesome.
Aww. Yeah, I mean, it's been great. It was interesting, like, when you first met the coven, like, kind of introduced you in, like, a tiered way. First you met my high priest, and then you met him one-on-one.
Shout out to Justin. Yes. Who's editing this probably.
And then after that you met, like, just a couple of them, and then eventually you met everybody. But it was weird. It was kind of like introducing, like, okay kids, here's your stepdad or something. Like,
I felt like I was unlocking characters in Super Smash Bros. Like, oh my God. You did a special event and now you've got Mewtwo on your team, you know.
So it was definitely fun, and it was a fun, and I remember the first time, like, some of the coven met you, like, I didn't say who you were, I was just like, yeah, I have somebody over, like, you know, he's gonna be leaving, and you kind of crossed paths, and as soon as you left, everybody was like, who is that boy, and I was like, oh my gosh. Anyway, yeah, it's been a fun experience. So
aww.
I guess let's move on to the next question.
Okay, cool. Are there any parts of your practice you like sharing with me, or even secretly hope I'll get involved in someday?
So this isn't a secret, but I would love for you to come to some of the public pagan events with me. Unfortunately, a lot of the public pagan events line up with when I have coven. So as much as I would love for him to come to some of those with me, unfortunately, I also cannot attend any of those. But any parts of my practice I like sharing with you, I think it's fun to celebrate the holidays together, like Samhain or Yule, because that could be pretty interchangeable for what a lot of the world does anyway during those times. Kind of.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, my practice, I don't think what I do spiritually, like, aligns with what your spiritual thoughts would be, and I think that's totally fine, you know, mm-hmm. different strokes for different folks. But in terms of, like, secretly hoping you get involved in anything, I would just be happy to bring you to a public event just so you can kind of see, like, what it's like on a public scale, but aside from that, not really.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Yeah, for me, like, you know, obviously love and respect what you do, but I think for me, I kind of want to just kind of do my own thing. I've told this to Ashley. I'm too lazy to join an organized religion. So I think that I wouldn't have the time or commitment to really do something like that. But I would love to attend any kind of events that, you know, involve like things with Wicca and like anything that you think that I would enjoy, which I think would be really fun. Like, I know there's an event that we were talking about doing in September, and then some other ones that are going to be around. So could be cool.
Yeah. I mean, my next question was going to be related to that. I think you just answered it. I'll ask you anyway, but how do you feel about celebrating some of the different Sabbats like Samhain or Yule that hold, you know, a meaning to me, but they're not really your thing?
Yeah. So I don't think last year we celebrated Samhain specifically, but we had a lot of fun around Halloween. So you can maybe count that if you wanted to. But yeah, as far as Yule, I remember Ashley put together a Yule log, which I thought was really cool. And I think also learning about the origins of like the Yule log and how it kind of connects back to, you know, what we see as Christmas as well. There's like some shared origins and elements of those that, you know, were used in paganism that were then brought into like Christianity. So it's like there are some shared elements in that sense. But I thought it was really interesting, like, learning about that. And it was really cool, actually, because my girlfriend has met my parents who, you know, they really love her. They think that she's awesome. And Ashley told them around December, I think, when we were actually decorating the family Christmas tree, that she was also going to be celebrating Yule and decorating her Yule log. And my parents thought that was really interesting. And, you know, Ashley explained what goes into decorating Yule log. And they're like, hey, you know, we've got a lot of like really cool plants in the backyard. Would you want to try and gather some of them, like berries and like different like types of flowers and things like that? And she
well, not flowers because it was winter, but
oh, it was, yeah, probably not flowers actually. But now thinking about it,
they have a large property with a lot of land, yeah. And they have a lot of different wildlife, not well, yes, wildlife, but they have a lot of different plants and trees and bushes and shrubs. And so, yeah, I don't know if you want to,
yeah, yeah. And you know, Ashley was really interested in that, so we went out like all together and gathered some things that, you know, we thought that Ashley would like a lot.
It was so sweet.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like,
yeah, like we went out with his parents. They like his dad was holding like the plant scissors, whatever they're called, and his mom was holding like the bag. And we walked around the property, and they were like, "Oh, like would this look good with your log? Would this look good? Like, how do you feel about this?" And I would just kind of like point and be like, "Yo, that looks nice." And they were like, "Okay." And then they would just like cut it. And they'd be like, "Oh, okay, let's go to this next one." And like, it was so sweet, and I felt like, I don't know, I don't want to say I felt awkward. I felt like, oh, thank you. You know, like very like shy, like, aw. Because I didn't really know how to respond to it. Cause it was so nice of them to do that. To like walk around and everything. And so the next time Mike came to my apartment, he saw my Yule log all decorated with like the stuff from his parents' property. And it was really nice.
Yeah. It was really cool. And I really appreciated my parents like really being cool with that, and just how far they've gone to like be very accepting of like what you do too. Because, you know, I think like, as you know, happens, like I think my parents were like skeptical at first, but like they've really like came to learn more about like, you know, what you do, you know, what they can learn, of course, and they've become like very accepting of it. And like, just, I think that's really awesome. And they've become very open-minded about it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like I've become part of your practice in any way just by being present in your life?
Not my actual practice, because of course you don't have an involvement in the like actual practice. Definitely there's support there of like, you know, letting me do my own thing, or I feel like if I ever needed a candle from the store, you would be happy to pick it up for me. You know, like things like that. Actually, there was one time that our whole coven, we had been like drinking. We went out someplace. I think we like went to like a party or a brunch, or like we went out to dinner, like something, and we were like celebrating. I don't remember, but maybe it was the Renaissance Festival. I don't know. It was something that we went to, and we all came back to my place, and Mike was like, oh, I can come over and like hang out, because we were just hanging out socially, like we weren't doing anything at that moment, we hadn't started Circle or anything, that wasn't going to be till like way later in the day. And so we called you and your best friend, and everybody placed a cheese order with you.
Oh, yeah.
of the cheeses to bring over for some, you know, charcuterie with the wine we were having. That was a great part of my practice, babe. I really appreciated that.
Oh, yeah, the delivery boy.
All jokes aside, though, that first of all, that was actually really sweet for you guys to do. That was really, really nice. And that cute little pumpkin was bought too. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, the pumpkin. I remember that.
Yeah, the pumpkin was cute. Anyway. Yeah. So I would say no, not my actual practice, but yes, absolutely in terms of support surrounding my practice. I would say you've absolutely have been an influential part of that.
Yeah, definitely. And I know, like, you know, I'm sure some of your podcast listeners know, or maybe they don't, about your, you know, recent surgery that you've had with everything.
Oh, yeah. I got my gallbladder evicted from my body.
Yeah. I know Ashley's, like, you know, been struggling a little bit to recover from that. But, yeah, I've been really trying to, like, help as much as I can to, like, you know, help her out around the house and, like, just clean. Also, just make sure everything's good for her, like, her coven, like she had recently. So I was glad that I could, you know, help her and support her with, like, a lot of that stuff, you know, leading up to, you know, everything that she's got going on.
Yeah, he even deep cleaned my cat's litter box. It was great.
I did, yeah. It was not great, but it was, I was glad to do it.
Thanks, Dave. Is there anything that you've learned about witchcraft that has surprised you?
Nothing in particular. Most of what you've told me, I've kind of learned just, you know, as I've continued to date you and kind of just learned, like, more information. But I feel like as far as things I've learned, it's stuff that I've kind of already known from, like, the public domain of, like, what's known about witchcraft and, like, you know, Gardnerian, like, witchcraft that's, like, public. So nothing else, I would say.
Cool.
What's something you've had to explain more than once to me or others about what it's like being a witch in a mixed spiritual relationship? Well, you've probably had to explain me a couple of things multiple times since I've got a terrible memory.
Oh, no. When I hear this question, I think of your parents, for example. So one of the very first things when your parents finally asked me about, because they knew I was pagan, I think, from the start.
Yeah.
But when they finally got the courage to ask me to my face, I suppose is the right way I should say it. One of the first things your mom asked me was, she was like, well, do you curse people? And I was like, not personally, no, I don't really have time for that. And so I've had to explain, like, I mean, things like that exist. I'm not going to say they don't, but that's not really something I practice. I also had to explain that, specifically again to your parents, that this is not something I'm, like, trying to get you involved in. I mean, mm-hmm. I'd like if, like, one day you came to, like, a festival with me or something, just as, like, support and, like, checking out what I'm doing. But I have no expectations of, like, you running up to volunteer to get behind the altar and do something, you know? So I think I've had to explain that aspect, that I don't expect you or I don't have an expectation for you to be part of my practice. I also don't necessarily curse things or people. In terms of being in a mixed spiritual relationship, I haven't really had to explain too much about that. I mean, thankfully you kind of do your own thing and you let me do my own thing.
Yeah.
Not you let me. I do my own thing.
Yeah.
And you are totally fine with that.
Yeah.
So I don't think I've had to explain much outside of that. The only other thing would be that you have to leave at times.
Yeah, of course.
It's my coven meeting, but we've said that a number of times. So
yeah, it's definitely, like, the main thing. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I haven't really had to explain that much. I mean, I guess I've explained that to some people, like, oh yeah, I'm dating a girl that is, like, pagan, you know, and sometimes I'll kind of talk about that.
Yeah.
Which leads me into my other, like, question as well. Or I guess your question.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask, I mean, how do you explain me or us to family or friends who might be skeptical or curious about what I have going on?
Yeah, I think initially, like, I was like, oh.
Initially, you told them a lot.
I actually did tell them a little bit more than maybe I should have, probably.
Whoops.
But I do think that, like, since then, I've been trying to keep it, like, more, like, low-key on, like, what I tell people, just to be like, oh, yeah, you know, my girlfriend, like, you know, if it ever is brought up, like, you know, I might mention, like, oh, my girlfriend is, like, pagan, like, she is sort of a quote-unquote alternative, like, kind of religion to, like, some people, and I think a lot more people than you might expect are pretty open about that, especially in the area that we live in. I think people are generally pretty open-minded about certain things like that, but I also try to not, like, divulge too much information now. I think I was a bit excited before, so I think I talked about stuff a little bit more often, but I think, yeah, I just try to be, like, very respectful when talking about, like, Ashley's practice and just try to, like, you know, let people know it's, like, normal if they have any questions about it.
Yeah, I think you were like, ooh, a spooky goth witchy girl. Let me tell all of my friends.
Yeah.
Every detail she's told me.
I was so excited. I was like like a kid in a candy shop. Like, oh my God, that's so cool. No, but I really think that, yeah, I try to always be very respectful, like, when talking about you and, like, just, you know, what you do. And I think that what you do is awesome.
Oh, thanks, baby.
Do you ever feel pressure to represent witches or explain your beliefs more than you want to?
sometimes when people are very skeptical or curious, even, or just kind of like, oh, you know, like rolling their eyes about it, I do feel pressure at times to explain a little bit of what I do and how it's pretty chill, honestly. I think sometimes people make it to be this huge deal. I mean, to me, my religion's a huge deal, but I think other people overanalyze what I'm doing because, I mean, I was raised Catholic. If I was still Catholic and somebody told me they were a witch, I'd be like, what do you mean? You know, so I understand the questions. So I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, yeah, I should be a little bit more explaining in a nice way what I'm doing, but I don't know. I guess that's my answer.
I figured that's probably something that becomes tiring after a while as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it does.
Because it's like, obviously, like, you know, it is a more like niche like kind of religion in a sense, but I do think that like down the line, I think you know, it sounds like paganism is actually kind of on the rise as far as like, you know, people practicing it. Especially with like, I feel like people kind of need something to fulfill them like spiritually these days, especially with things kind of being pretty rough in the world right now. So I would be surprised if, yeah, down the line, even if more people kind of are more aware of like, you know, currently practicing pagans and stuff like that and it being more well known. But yeah, that might be more down the line.
Yeah, one thing I just thought of is like, I've definitely had people kind of interrogate me about my religion, and a lot of people who practice, I mean, myself included, I'm open about being pagan to most people. But I'm also, you know, my practice is my own. It's personal. Yes, I am part of a tradition, but I have my own personal things that I do. And I've had people just ask me like a shit ton of questions about it. And I can tell the difference between curiosity versus interrogation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I mean, I've told people like, oh, I mean, you know, if you want to learn more about it, I have some recommendations. I know a podcast, or, mm-hmm, you know, I know a book. But yeah, that's always been kind of not fun, because I feel like when I've met people of other religions, I haven't asked them like very deep spiritual questions, like, what is the meaning of God to you? You know, like things like that. I'm just like, I'm just trying to enjoy my coffee, sir. You know, like,
yeah.
So that's definitely been a thing. But I think, you know, being in an alternative religion, that just kind of comes with the territory, unfortunately. But at the same time, I'm not somebody who's Google.
Yeah.
So,
and I think the cool thing is that, like, one of the nice things about, I think, like, a lot of pagans, or, you know, ones that I've met, of course, especially, you know, your coven, is that, you know, you guys never proselytize to people. Like,
no,
you're never,
no,
trying to, like, you know, get people to, like, join your coven, like, more forcefully, like a lot of religions do. And, you know, that's honestly probably a breath of fresh air. I mean, I think a lot of people are probably happy that there's not people knocking door to door. You know, as far as, you know, religions go, I don't think a lot of people love that necessarily, but it happens a lot. But I think it's cool that you guys aren't, like, forcing it down people's throats like a lot of religions do, and I think that's honestly very refreshing.
Yeah. What advice would you give to non-witch partners who want to support their significant other?
Yeah, I think an important thing would just to be, you know, open, like, have open communication when it comes to, you know, talking about your practice, you know, what you can know, of course. And then also, you know, being able to celebrate, like, different Sabbats, like, knowing when those Sabbats are, so that way, you know, you're able to help support your partner in, you know, helping to celebrate that with them, even if you're not able to, you know, help with it directly, like, you know, somebody who does practice witchcraft would. And I also think, as well, you know, it's important to not be dismissive of your partner's beliefs as well. I think it's important to, you know, be respectful of them, like, even if, you know, maybe you're new to dating somebody that is into witchcraft, to, you know, have an open mind, like, and be respectful and understanding, even if it seems, you know, a little bit different from your initial worldview. But yeah, that's what I would give.
That's a great answer, babe. Aw, I love that.
What would you say to witches who are dating or want to date someone who doesn't share their path?
Don't make my mistake that I did. If you are on the apps, for example, tell people immediately. And don't wait. Don't wait to tell people, because I waited and I knew it was going to end badly, and it did. And it was honestly a waste for everybody's time. And yeah, just don't do that. My personal opinion of my own experience, tell people right away. As long as you feel like they're a safe person to tell, of course. So if you're wanting to date somebody, I would say that. I put it straight on my profile. I was like, hey, I'm pagan. The end. And then to somebody who is dating who doesn't share your path, make sure that they are accepting of you as a person and what you do. I think there is a fine line between tolerating and accepting, and I think you should try to aim more for accepting, because I know of people who have tolerated their partner's practices, and it has not been great. They're, you know, sometimes people, I've heard stories of people who've been in relationships like that where their partner tolerated it, but they would make snide comments or kind of side-eye them or be frustrated when they would go to coven meetings. That's not to say that everybody who tolerates paganism will do that, but you really want a partner who's going to support you in all aspects of your life, including your spirituality, even if this isn't their thing. So don't hold, or make sure you hold out for that. Find somebody who is really going to accept you for you, your whole person, your soul included. Don't settle, guys. Just don't do it.
Oh, that's well put, baby.
Oh, of course, babe. So how do you think we've managed to maintain our individuality while still building a life together?
I mean, as far as that, I think that we kind of have always kind of maintained our individuality. Yeah. Like, it's not really been a problem. Like, you know, we kind of have our own separate things that we do, like, obviously with your coven. But that's kind of a small portion of your life as far as, like, you know, when you do that, it's like once every month or so, you know, when it does happen with the Sabbat. But obviously you're also preparing for different things and, like,
I'm
you know,
busy.
You're busy with other things also, you know. She's very type A, so she has, like, a lot that she likes to do. But, yeah, as far as, like, keeping her own individuality, like, in a mixed religion relationship, like, it's not really that different, honestly. It's pretty much the same as, you know, most relationships, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think it's really important to have your own life outside of your relationship. And, you know, you have your friend group, I have my friend groups, and we do our own thing. We come together at the end of the night, and it's great.
Yeah.
So I think that's important, witchcraft or not.
Yeah. No, just general relationship things.
Yeah. All right. So these are some questions for both of us as we get to the end of the episode. So what are some simple ways couples can bridge spiritual or philosophical gaps with curiosity and respect? I think, like you had said earlier, Mike, just having as much as possible open communication. And if there's something that your partner, you may have heard something on the internet about what they're doing, or like if they said something weird or you got a weird vibe, just talk to them and ask them a question. If there's something that makes you uncomfortable, you're not sure about, just talk to them. Yeah. I think that is the best way you could do this. And of course, asking in a respectful way.
Yeah, no, definitely. I totally agree with that.
Great. What do you love most about being in a relationship where our paths are different, but our connection's strong?
Yeah, I think that's kind of a cool question, actually, because we both have, like, things that we're both very passionate about. And I think it's really cool that, like, you're so passionate about, like, Wicca, as well as, like, you know, making the podcast and, you know, just doing a lot of things in your life that you have put so much effort into. And I think it's really inspiring for me to, like, watch you get so involved in that. And it's made me kind of, like, really reflect and really want to push myself to do even better in my personal life too, whether it's through my own, like, things that I do. Like, I do graphic design for work, and it's made me want to, you know, become a better graphic designer because I see just how much effort you put into, you know, your art, you know, in a sense with podcasting, if you want to call that art. I know that's, like, kind of a debate, but I think
art of the craft,
but you are doing the art. There's the art of the craft. Like, I think there is an artistry to, like, what you do as far as your religion goes, and I think that's something that really inspires me a lot, is just the fact that you've got so much passion. I think it's incredible, like, you know, that you've got that drive, and it makes me want to work harder.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, I mean, I would say I love that you came into this so unbiased in what I do, and I love that we kind of have our own thing and our own thoughts, and that when I talk to you, I'm not just talking into an echo chamber. And I think that's great for everybody for development and such, and looking at things in different ways. So yeah, I don't mind at all that our paths are totally different. I think it's actually kind of nice in a way.
Yeah.
Although, if you do want to celebrate, you know, more Samhain in the winter solstice with me.
Oh, yeah, I love that. That sounds awesome.
Love that. All right, well, that is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course, babe. No, I was glad that I could come and, just be able to talk to you about this stuff. I think it's really awesome that you felt comfortable with me joining, and I hope you all had a lot of fun listening too.
Yeah, if anybody wants to stalk you on the internet, how could they find you?
Yeah, definitely. So my Instagram is actually Mick Mank. It's MIK_MANC, Mike Mancuso, and you can find me there on Instagram.
And if anybody wants to stalk me on the internet, you can find me on Instagram @SeekingWitchcraft, or my personal Instagram, Spells and Kettlebells. on Facebook as Seeking Witchcraft Podcast. There is a Facebook group, if you're interested, called Witch is Seeking Witchcraft. And if you'd like to support the show, you could do so at patreon.com/seekingwitchcraft. Well, thank you, Mike, so much for coming on. I hope you had a great time, and thank you all for listening. If you have any questions or want any follow-up, I don't know, follow-up episode about anything else we can ask in relationship, feel free to reach out at any time. All right, thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.